Hey, Mystic Michaela spiritual family, welcome to Know Your Aura with Mystic Michaela. Today we are talking about expanded consciousness. It's a big word. What does it mean? How can you do it at home? And we're going to talk about some crazy deep dives, some little rabbit holes we're going to go into. But first, hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. So I get the text.
I do.
Yes. Every week I get this text. You know, this is the topic.
Yeah.
I didn't even say this. It was just two words. It was expanded consciousness.
Yeah.
I just see it come across my text. I'm like, what? What is this?
Yeah. I'm sitting across from the living room and you just get a text and you're like, what is this?
Like, is this kind of some sort of message? Should I be thinking more?
Right.
Like, am I not doing something?
Is this a grocery list item?
Yeah.
What is this?
You know, is my ignorance showing here and I got to come out of it? Whatever.
But no, I'm just like, you know, take it away.
Yeah. Take it away.
Take it away.
Go do your thing.
Go do you.
Right. I mean, the last time I was told this, you know, we came up with the house of hell.
The house of death.
The house of death.
Right.
House of death. So, all right. So I looked up the – first I wanted to look up the definition, make sure I got exactly what you were talking about. So I went to dictionary.com, and this is what it said.
You're such a researcher.
Yes. First thing that popped up. Didn't even check any other sources.
Okay. You're such a scholar.
Yes. So the definition they gave was a sense that one's mind has been open to new or larger kind of awareness associated particularly with mystical experiences, meditation, or hallucinogenic drug use.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what...
That's what you think of.
Yeah,
mystical
you're like,
experiences.
Oh, expanded consciousness. When did you go on a wild trip or something?
Right.
Or a retreat? Or,
yeah. Did you meditate for 72 hours?
It's considered very new agey or something.
In Sedona. Right.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly, new agey. So... I'm like, okay, so where do I go with this? Now, when I think of expanded consciousness, the first thing that comes to mind, because, you know, I was a history teacher, is always the Buddha, Siddhartha, the Buddha, because he was the one that, I guess, you know, he's the enlightened one. You know, when we think of, like, spiritual awakenings, where did it all begin? I don't know. I always think the Buddha. I could be totally wrong on that, and other people could think.
When did that start?
All right, so history lesson time?
Yeah.
All right, we could do a little history. All right, so let's go into the Buddha. All right,
okay.
The enlightened one. All right.
I'm having like ninth grade flashbacks. Is that
normal
now?
I don't remember what episode.
Is that normal for me in this moment?
No.
Is this a ninth grade?
Well, this would be a ninth grade.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, this would be ninth grade.
I'm having like a whole ninth grade flashback moment.
Oh my God. My mind is, what is it called when you detract your consciousness?
It's like a subtractedness.
Yeah, I'm subtracting.
You're subtracting consciousness.
Because I'm thinking back to my teaching days.
Teaching ninth graders.
It's like making my mind shrivel.
Okay.
So, yes, this would be a ninth grade thing. And we did, I can't remember what episode, we did Hinduism.
Yeah,
and
I forget.
Yeah, I don't know, someone tell us. Oh, thank you. Okay, so somebody in the audience told us.
Right.
Remember what we still do have an audience.
Yeah, okay. Right. Oh, yeah, you used to pretend that was your inside joke for a while.
You're right.
We just let them die sometimes and we don't remind you.
Of the joke,
to bring them back.
I haven't made an Amish joke in many, many episodes.
Yeah.
I haven't said Jumanji in a while. Jumanji, Jumanji, Jumanji. This is for the guys. We need more guy listenership. All right.
Okay,
anyway,
Scott.
So all right, let's move on. So, Northern India. Picture it, Northern India. Now, roughly 2,000 years ago, there's a lot of debate on when the Buddha lived. You know, some people say 563 BC. Some people say it's 100 years earlier. Some people say it's 100 years later. So there's no set date of actually when he was born. They know roughly.
Are there people like actually fighting about this right now?
Oh yeah, right
oh,
now.
Really?
Right now, there's a fight going on.
Wow.
Yeah, as we speak, there's a fight going on somewhere.
Okay.
And that would be like modern day Nepal, where he was born, along like the Ganges River or something like that. So he was Hindu. So Buddha was born into Hindu. That's why I said going back to the Hinduism episode. So at that time, there was no Buddhism. If you were in India, most likely you were practicing Hinduism or some sort. Or offshoot of Hinduism.
Okay.
And remember, Hinduism was very, very strict. When you were born into a caste, you were stuck into that caste until your next lifetime when you would reincarnate, and then you would hopefully come back as a higher caste, right? Okay. Or you could come back as a lower if you didn't do what you were supposed to do in that lifetime, karma and your dharma.
Okay.
But the Buddha was born into a very wealthy caste. He was warrior caste, which was very close to the top.
Okay.
You know, so he was very close to reaching what was called Brahman, which is like oneness with the universe.
Okay.
He probably only had, another 3, 4, 7 lifetimes to go, and he would have been done and successful. So what I'm saying is that he was on the top.
Yeah.
You know, close to the top.
He had, like, reincarnation privilege.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Right. He was there. So for him being a Hindu, right, he should have been really happy.
Yeah. Like, you should be, like, you're good. Like, don't mess that up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wouldn't, like, he wasn't an untouchable where,
right,
you know,
like, his life would have been pretty good. Yeah. Is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. So he lived in a castle, you know, and again, this is all based on, you know, oral traditions of the time and things like that. So there, and there's very, you can read different sources and get different takes.
Okay.
But all right. So he lived in the castle and he was sheltered. Didn't come out of the castle. His father was very strict. Kept everything from him. So when he became, when he turned 29, he ventured out on his chariot, in a nice chariot, riding by, and he saw all this suffering.
Oh.
He saw, like, you know, a dead body. He saw people begging in the streets. He saw, you know, poverty, hunger, all these things. And he went back into the castle, and it really affected him.
Yeah, he couldn't just forget that.
He couldn't just forget it. And he was 29, and he started, you know, pondering, you know, like, what is life? What is the meaning of life?
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe he had, like, at that time, a midlife crisis. Could have been
that. Back then, that might have been a midlife
29,
crisis time.
Yeah, that's midlife.
And Saturn return.
Right? He was in a Saturn return.
Right.
He did make it past 27, so that's good. He
wasn't in the 27 club. Yeah, but it can happen, like, between 27 and, like, 29 or 30, we discovered.
Right. So, yeah. Okay. So he's in his Saturn return.
Right.
There's the Buddha in his Saturn return. It's Siddhartha. He's not the Buddha yet.
Right.
And he goes out on a journey, leaves the castle, gives up all his wealth, gives up everything, you know, dresses poorly. Now he's dressing like me. And
okay. You know,
he's got Know Your Buddha shirt on. And he gives everything up. And he, you know, he basically gets rid of everything. You know, he doesn't eat for days. Jumanji's off the table for him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all this stuff. You know, meditating, yoga, goes into the forest, blah, 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 for 6 years.
Wow.
You know, all right, after 6 years, he's like this skinny little twig, and he basically can't even stand up because he's so sickly.
Oh.
Because he hasn't, you know, he's depriving his body of everything.
There's no Buddha belly yet?
There's no, right, there's no Buddha belly. He's a little skinny like me in high school.
Okay.
And he passes out, almost dies, comes to, you know, the story says, like, someone saved him and gave him rice and...
You know a lot about this.
Yeah, I know all this stuff. I used to teach it all the time.
Yes.
And again, like I said, this is the one version of the story.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he comes back to life and realizes this is not the answer. So, like, depriving yourself of everything and meditating all day long and yoga is not the way to go. And he does an about face. I guess he starts eating again. Now maybe the belly is forming.
Okay, good.
And he sits under a tree, and story legend has it that he doesn't leave for 7 days.
Okay.
You might see it as 2 weeks in some books. You might see it a little less. But he just sits there under, which is now known as the Bodhi tree, for 7 days.
Okay.
Whatever, at least 7 days. And in those 7 days, he has the expanded consciousness.
Oh.
And he comes up with what's known as the Four Noble Truths.
Okay.
Which is basically the major tenets of Buddhism.
What are they?
The Four Noble Truths?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Let's see if I remember. No, I got them.
Okay.
You don't have to pause. I got it.
I was going to pause. Like, pause for
pause
research.
It. Yeah, pause it and let you go get the answer. No, I know the... all right. All life is suffering.
Okay.
That's number one. Suffering is caused by desires.
Mm.
The way to eliminate suffering is to eliminate desire. And then the fourth one is to do that, follow the Eightfold Path.
Okay.
Those are your four.
Okay.
Yeah. And which kind of makes sense.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah. And
he's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong.
Yeah.
What causes suffering? It's
when you want something.
Right.
And you can't get it.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
that's very basic, but that's true.
Yeah. And then he teaches you the Eightfold Path will get you to what's called, he calls Nirvana, which is the same in Brahman in Hinduism. And then once you've reached Nirvana, you have escaped the cycle of rebirth, of the cycle of life and death. So you would no longer be Marty Martin and Ryan Hammonds.
Right.
You'd be off.
You're not you anymore. You're one with the universe.
Universe, right. That's the whole goal of Buddhism and Hinduism as well.
To, like, kind of live in that expanded consciousness.
To live in that
like
expanded
energy.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That is cool.
And the basic tenets are pretty neat.
It seems peaceful.
Yeah,
it's a peaceful religion.
Like, it's very peaceful.
Yeah.
There's no caste system.
Yeah.
So you can do it in one lifetime. You can get to the Eightfold Path and get to Nirvana in one lifetime. Although the Buddha and the teachings say that it takes many lifetimes because most people aren't that expanded in their consciousness to do it once.
Right.
When the Buddha died, that was it. He did it. You know, he goes up to nirvana.
Okay.
The story says when he ate bad food and he died. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. That's the legend says he ate bad food. The guy didn't mean to give him bad food, and then the Buddha said forgave him for giving him the bad food, the tainted food, and he went up to nirvana. They said his spirit went to nirvana. But yeah, it's very interesting because you could apply it to today, and this is maybe getting a little off topic, but like the right way to think. Like, think about it. Like, I always used to tell the kids, you know, like, when they go on, like, Instagram or they go on TikTok, and maybe our listeners do, too.
Sure.
And they see how people are living. You know, your influencer is showing you their mansion and their new car. Like,
right.
Look at this brand new car
I got.
Or just,
like, they're with their family and you're not. Or, you know, just,
yeah, whatever.
Like,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Whatever it is. Sometimes it's just so simple as, oh, my gosh, look, they went out with friends. I didn't go out with friends.
Right.
Like, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Those things. And the Buddha would say, well, that's caused by your desire. Mm. And if you could eliminate that desire, you eliminate the suffering.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, for a teenage kid or even us, it's hard to do.
It's hard.
When you see that in your face all day. When, you know, so that's what he teaches in the Eightfold Path. How to do that, to overcome that, where you don't desire much. And that's why, you know, I call myself the Buddha, because
okay, Scott.
I have a lot of similarities to the Buddha.
Okay.
You know, I don't really want
like
much.
You've really reached nirvana, your expanded consciousness.
Yeah, I really connect with him.
Well, I think that's really interesting because, like, that's one story. And I think if just thinking, like, as you were talking about, I was thinking about, like, a lot of other religious people or religious, like, prophets or heads of religion or things. Like, they all, it's very similar. Like, they secluded themselves for a while and had some sort of profound moment.
Right.
And so what is that? Like, where do they go? Like, what is that state? How do you change your thinking to get to the, like, level up your thinking or changing it so much and leaving your own brain is kind of the thing.
Yeah.
Like, leaving the programming, leaving the everything that's created your physical brain and the limitations. How do you leave that to get some sort of profundity?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and yes, a lot of Bible stories have this in there, you know, like Moses going up to the burning bush to get the commandments. You know, he's up there for a while, I think. He's not, it just doesn't happen like in the movie.
Like 40 days.
Yeah,
something.
He's up there.
Yeah,
well, I think he wandered the desert for 40 days. And
right.
A lot of it happens in the desert, too.
Desert.
Because maybe that's I don't know. What's it about that landscape?
Honestly, to me, it's like a metaphor.
Okay.
So, like, they go into the desert. They go in, you know, you have to, to me, it's a metaphor for going within. You know, and listen, if you want to believe it literally, go for it.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's fine. But just for me, the way that I connect to those stories is like the desert is a barren landscape. Nobody wants to walk through that. It's not comfortable. There's a lot of discomfort. There's sadness. There's just you and you. And that's what happens when you go in your thoughts. There's a lot of stuff you don't want to think about. There's a lot of regret. There's a lot of things you did that you don't want to remember again. But when you go through all that stuff, like there's an epiphany that can happen. And and to me, that's like the desert to an oasis or, you know, getting through that.
Okay.
So it's, to me, it's like a metaphor.
Yeah. And again, yes. And it does pop up throughout history. So there's maybe something to this. I don't know.
For sure. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Very interesting. I mean, obviously whether you believe this story or not, in terms of expanded consciousness is, you don't, this is my thing. I don't think you have to go to these extremes.
Mm.
That's what I'm, my point here.
I agree.
You don't have to go and meditate straight for 7 days or 2 weeks or whatever the Buddha did. You could just do it in the comforts of your own home.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you could be in our discussion groups. And I feel I get my mind's expanded when I listen to them talk in there and add to the conversation. So there's ways to do it. I think listening to this podcast has expanded my consciousness.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk about that more in depth and coming up and exactly how to do it and just what it is, how to do it, and how to do it now.
Okay, so we'll do that. We have a couple of ads, but then after you do that,
we're
going to
go
to a couple of extreme cases of expanded consciousness.
I get up early and I force myself out of bed. You know, I got kids, so I got to get them ready for school and stuff. And I grab my cup of coffee and I also grab something else. I grab my Ocean Eyes Serum from Osea. This is the shot of espresso to my eyes. When I wake up, I swear, like sometimes I can't even open them. And I will just put the Ocean Eyes Serum on the entire eye area. It brightens, it smooths, it depuffs. Like my eye skin, I swear it like sucks it up. It sucks it up. It's, I crave it. I've never craved something as much as I crave the Ocean Eye Serum from Osea. Ocean Eye Serum has this cooling roller ball that you apply it with, and it refreshes and just awakens that whole area. And it's clinically proven. It's clinically proven to brighten the look of eyes, reduce the look of crow's feet and under eye bags, diminish puffiness and dark circles, smooth the look of fine lines and wrinkles. And it uses high performance ingredients such as hyaluronic acid, peptides, and Undaria seaweed. You know, Osea has been making seaweed-infused products that are safe for your skin and the planet for over 27 years. All their products are clean, vegan, cruelty-free, climate-neutral, powered by seaweed, and conceived in California. So you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. So spring into your most radiant skin yet with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea, and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code KYA at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to Osea, O-S-E-A, Malibu.com and use code KYA for 10% off. It is spring. And let me tell you something, you're probably like me, looking in your closet and being like, ooh, I have to refresh some things here. I have to add a little something to my wardrobe. And let me tell you, all my favorite looks come from Stitch Fix. With Stitch Fix, they have this range of wear now styles and spring forward colors, trends, and patterns to just help you refresh your wardrobe. With Stitch Fix, you can get a personal stylist who will curate the perfect pieces for your unique style and fit. Get started now and bring some new life to your wardrobe this season. Whenever I just am looking a little tired in there, I'm like, ooh, I just schedule a fix. It is that easy. Stitch Fix is the best way to discover new styles and brands just for you. You're not sure what you look good in. You're not sure if you want to go try something. Your personal stylist, they got you. Think of Stitch Fix as like your style partner. Your stylist will learn all about your tastes, and they collaborate with you on looks you'll love. They listen really well. All you have to do is answer a few questions about where you typically like to shop, what you like to wear, and your price range, with your choices in mind in a wide range of sizes available from extra small to 3X. You'll find your perfect fit. They've got you covered with over 1,000 brands and styles. And here's the thing. You try your pieces at home before you buy them. It's amazing. You just keep what you love and you just send back the rest. Plus, shipping, returns, and exchanges, they're free. There's like no strings attached here. And there's no subscription required either. You just order a refresh whenever you need it, or set it and forget it with regular seasonal fixes. I mean, you're completely in control. So right now, Stitch Fix is offering my listeners $20 off their first fix at stitchfix.com/KYA. That's stitchfix.com/KYA for $20 off today. Stitchfix.com/KYA. Something I've been really interested in lately in my own spiritual practice is something called expanded consciousness. And that's like a big word and it means a lot of different things. And you can go down a whole rabbit hole. There's a lot of, I mean, humans have been talking about this for millennia. There's so many different spiritual teachings. A lot of different cultures have their takes on it. And I mean, you can really look into it. It's a fascinating topic, but it can also do this thing where you feel overwhelmed and that it's not accessible to you, which, trick of the 3D world, that's what always ends up happening. If you ever notice the pattern, there's something really awesome out there, but then there's so many different ways to get to it. And the point is to make you feel separate. And the funny thing is expanded consciousness is actually supposed to make you feel whole and a part of everything and present. And it's within you. It's not something you have to go travel to find. And it's accessible to you right now. Doing dishes, not going anywhere, not spending a dime, home today, now. Expanded consciousness is available to you. So, as we like to do on here, I'm making the paranormal normal today, and I'm talking about expanded consciousness. Like I said, it's a big word, but what is expanded consciousness? Expanded consciousness is the belief that since our brains ourselves, like our brains, that physical matter in between your ears is a limited thing, and it is. Every time you have an experience, you filter through it with your brain. Your programming, your culture, your beliefs, how you were raised, your traumas, I mean, there's so many different ways that you have a filter for perceiving reality. And you know it's not you. It's just the filter of this lifetime. And it affects you. And that filter keeps you separate from the whole or the consciousness of the universe. So how expanded consciousness works is you understand this about yourself and you just attempt to think beyond it. That's it. That's all expanded consciousness is. You just sit there and you question yourself. I mean, I could end the done. We're done for today. Like I could end it right there because that's really all it is. And probably a lot of you are like, oh, I do that all the time. Like I'm constantly questioning things and my identity and my role and in my field. Yeah. So you're already doing it. But like most things, if you have a name for it, I always feel like it gives you even more power over it and more ability to grow and evolve and create even an expanded level of awareness to it. So anyways, so thinking about it, you know, all your programming, all your traumas, all your good and bad experiences, all your predetermined beliefs, I mean, all these things mess with your ability to understand the world in a different way, to switch up your perception. And we do have this need, especially when you're working from a spiritual place, as a lot of us are. You have this need to go beyond that, to expand that perception, so as to actually connect with your authentic self, the place inside of you that is eternal. You got to get all that noise out of the way. And that's what expanded consciousness is for, and that's what it can do. And, you know, So what is expanded consciousness anyway? So spirit, or that which is greater than us, or whatever you want to call it, it lives in the consciousness. It lives in what we're speaking about today. You can call it universe energy or source energy. It lives in a space that I know you all feel. I mean, so much of our lives are spent told that we're separate, that we're different, that we're not apart. And that feeling of isolation that I'm sure you've all experienced, and sadness and loneliness and feeling like you're not in the present moment, that's all 3D stuff. That's all brain limiting consciousness stuff. So going beyond that actually gives you the connection to what is real and what is more soul aligned to you. And when you go into that space, you get a beautiful gift, and that gift is clarity. Who am I? What do I want? What's been holding me back? And you get a lot of truth, and you get an ability to kind of face things that your brain wouldn't allow you to face. So you get to find out why you're not dating the right people, or why you don't like your job, or why. And the answers are there, and they're there in a very plain way. I mean, if you think about it, humans have been trying to do this forever, cross-culturally. It's obviously something that we all, throughout time and history, binds us. Like, we know our brain limits us, but your mind is not limited. And so that leap, that bridge, we've been trying to connect and create forever. I mean, shamans using plant medicine in various cultures, Buddhist meditations, religious experience, mysticism. Honestly, I feel like AI, like we're still trying in artificial intelligence. Like that is a whole separate episode, but I feel like it's yet another attempt to tap into the greater consciousness, although that feels completely opposite to me, but we'll get there. But there is this awareness of being trapped in our own brains as we try to connect with the power, that consciousness, that knowing beyond us and beyond our own perception. So you have an access point to your expanded consciousness, and it's in your own power, and it's through your own personal work. And I'm going to tell you exactly how to do that and different ways. But like I said, bottom line, it's just sitting down and asking yourself those questions. Who am I? What am I doing? What's blocking me? You know, and allowing yourself to just sit in the truth. Why do we want to expand our consciousness anyways? Like, how does this help us? So reaching out and tapping into the consciousness that surrounds us all, that eternal collective vibration, which has predated us and is completely eternal, it allows us to tap into universe energy, universe perception, and universal truth. Because our brain beliefs are so limiting, in expanded consciousness, those limitations don't exist. It's like in Mean Girls, the limitation does not exist. The limit does not exist. It's like that. Anyways, so you feel completely diluted from it, and then the clarity can come to you. And what happens is then you can create better intentions. We talk about manifestation a lot. The key to manifesting correctly is understanding what the heck you want. You can't manifest anything that doesn't align with who you actually are. Like, I could think, because of all my brain limiting programming, that I want to be, I don't know, a NASA astronaut or something. And that's not, you know, I could totally convince myself that's what I want to do, and totally convince myself like that's my path and stuff. And then when I'm wondering why it doesn't work out for me, or why it's this or why it's that, you know, and realizing, oh no, these are just programmed beliefs, or these are programming that doesn't serve me. You have to get out of the programming so you know what your actual authentic intentions are. When your personality aligns with your authenticity, that's when you can manifest better. And you can do that in states of expanded consciousness. That's where you can get more in touch with who you are, what you want, and what your actual life purpose is here, so that we can realize our potential, you know, outside the limitations of what the world's put you in. And you can create intentions that align with it. When you create an intention that aligns with who you actually are, it'll work out. But you can't do that unless you go into this expanded consciousness situation. So with meditation, intention, and a devoted practice, you can align yourself with the energy of the universe. And in doing so, this beautiful, solid peace emerges in you, a silent mind, a calm knowing. You rewire how you react to everything. And by tapping into expanded consciousness regularly, you can limit the amount of time, energy, and stress of things that have a hold on you that aren't productive for you. And it allows you to direct that energy towards the things that are actually going to further your growth, not waste your time. And basically, when you do this on a regular basis, you live more peacefully, contentedly, hopefully, and you don't get sidetracked. And it's a forever practice. And for me, it's been a lot about meditation. And I think a lot of us are scared of meditation because, like, we don't have the time, which I totally get. The more you do it, the more you crave it. I'll tell you that much. It's like when you don't take a shower for a few days and you're like, ew, you know, like that feeling. It feels better when you do it, you know. So the more you do it, the more you're going to want to do it, and the more you crave it. And what does it feel like? So a lot of us have this idea. I mean, everybody meditates differently. Some of you have like full on flipping visions, and I'm proud of you. That's awesome. And some of you tell me I fall asleep. And some of you tell me I just laid there and I get bored and fidgety. Okay. Here is the thing with meditating. And this is just what I do. I switch it up. You might want a guided meditation. You might just want HZ frequency music on your headphones and just set a timer for 10 minutes. That's literally all you have to do. And you can lay down and set yourself a mantra, whatever it is. I am whole. Whatever is on your mind, just start repeating it in your mind over and over and over again. When you get sidetracked, go back to the mantra. Okay, so there's a lot of ways you can do it that aren't complicated, and you will get better at it. And what you feel when you are in expanded consciousness is a couple of things. One, you might feel nothing. You might be like, wow, the time passed very quickly, but I don't even remember what happened. You might feel really bored. That's, you know, sometimes you're just not as into it as other days. It's okay. You may feel like sleepy, or you might get, and this is interesting too, insight. You might just get a little kernel of truth, and it just comes to you, and you're just like, whoa. And it's usually very simple and very profound, and you better write it down. So that can happen too. And having a quiet mind where nothing happens is absolutely fine, because what you're doing is you're turning off the brain for a minute. And you're allowing other things to subconsciously float through you, other energies, and they're doing good work. And these energies are expanded consciousness energies. That's how I see it. So it's kind of, when you drop that need or that feeling to get to something, get to a point, get to an answer, get to an end, and you simply just experience and you just be, that's when the best work can happen for you. And kind of lying there in expanded consciousness where you're just sitting and you're just open to a perception that's different than your own, a lot of insight wanders in, even if you don't realize it at first. So what are some ways we can do this that aren't super complicated? Like I said, binaural beats, HC frequencies, listen to them, rest while you're listening. If you're not great at closing your eyes and doing it, just sit outside, stare at a tree while you're listening to them, or just sit in nature quietly too. The point is no distractions and, you know, give yourself at least 10 minutes. Don't be afraid of feelings. Feelings are just feelings. Thoughts are just thoughts. I had a therapist that once told me, you know, it's just like, maybe it just clicked with me at the time because I was going through postpartum depression, but she's like, they're just thoughts. And I'm like, whoa, you know, yeah, it's just a thought. Like, that's all it is. Your thoughts, your feelings, that's all they are. So just treat them as little exploratory moments, not truths or something that's like attacking you. It's just a thought. It's just a feeling. So don't be so scared of them because they're going to creep in and that's okay. Start asking them questions. Why are you here? What triggered me today? What does this mean that I'm thinking of? Like, start being observational about your own thinking and your own feeling. That's a way to play around with expanded consciousness too. Also, here's the deal. Like, this is not a means to an end. Like, we're not, it's different than kind of like manifesting, you know, expanded consciousness stuff. It's being present and it's simply existing and it's enjoying your existence and it's finding the seed of the universe, which is within you, not outside of you. Like, the 3D world would love you to believe. So you keep spending money and time and energy on things that don't serve you, but serve the masses. So it's within you. So if you're doing this, you have to tell yourself, like, I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for my soul's evolution and nothing else. I'm not doing this to find a partner or get rich or, I don't know, anything. You're just doing this because you can. Just because you can. I used to be a Spanish teacher and I had this one dad call me and he just randomly like went off on me. Like, and his kid was doing fine and he liked the class. So I didn't really understand what this was about, but he just went off on me. He's like, Spanish is stupid and my kid's never going to use it. My kid's never going to learn a language. You know, he's going to work in the factory like I do. And that's it. So, you know, your class is dumb. And I told him he didn't have to do homework. So I don't know why he has to learn this stuff. And I'm like, because he can, sir. Because he can. Like, because he can. My point being, before I get all riled up again. Sorry. Sidetrack. Because you can. Because you have a beautiful soul of infinite energy. Use it. Experience it. Play in it. There's no other purpose than that. Just to be present. You have this, so use it. And that's what this expanded consciousness practice can do for you. And if it doesn't feel complicated enough, good. Because the world wants you to think that this is some sort of complicated, like, retreat in Bali, you know, yoga retreat, paid $4 billion to get here and I wear the right pants or whatever when I meditate. No, it's literally this easy. And you already have all the tools. They're right in you. So go for it because you can. All right. Also, experiences aren't bad or good. Let's stop labeling them. It's really hard to do. I gotta remind myself to do this too. It's hard to, like, if something happens to you, like your friends, like, I don't know, leave you out of the group text. Maybe that's not a bad experience. Maybe that's an informative experience for lots of reasons. When we take ourselves out of it, with our, like, our brains love to put us in it, main character, right? But when we take ourselves out of it, narrator, then you have a better viewpoint. Like, wow, all right, this bothers me because ABC, these people in my life perhaps did not include me because XYZ, you know, like, it's, if, you know, it's not a good or a bad experience. It's something I'm learning from. You can do that with every single thing in your life. And that's an expanded consciousness practice. Like when something horrific happens, like your oven breaks, like it did to me this week, out of nowhere, you can be like, I could be mad about it, but what would that do? Let me stir in my frustration. Let me think about it. You know, there's so many, and I'm a lot more chill, I guess is my point. So being calm and focused and centered is a great symptom of using your expanded consciousness abilities. You know, here's the deal. Everything is meaningless until you give it meaning. Say that to yourself like 5 more times. Everything's meaningless until you give it meaning. The universe, like if you look at nature, if you look at the world, if you look at it's all meaningless. Like people are the ones that give it meaning. And sometimes we don't know the meaning and we run to somebody else's perception or perspective to give it. Even this podcast, like all this is meaningless. I'm trying to tell you to give it meaning yourself. Don't go to anybody else's meaning. And the meaning you give it, ask yourself, how is my own brain and perceptions filtering through what this meaning is? Because my meaning for something and your meaning for something and somebody else's meaning for something can be completely different. So what does that tell you about meaning? It doesn't exist. And it's something you have control over. So you might as well give yourself things the meaning that, you know, gives you the most power and control. And for me, it's like a neutrality. Like, okay, it is what it is. You know, it's meaningless until I give it meaning. And even that is a very subjective thing. That little voice inside of you, you're going to start trusting it more. It's quiet. It's calm. I talk about this in my book, The Psychic Workbook. It, you know, the voice of spirit, it isn't the loudest, but it is the first. So you're going to learn to trust that one. Also, another way, this is a fun way to do expanded consciousness. You probably already have done it. Like whenever you travel, even when you travel different parts of the country or, you know, if you go abroad or if you go somewhere really foreign to you, walk in other people's shoes. You know, traveling's a great way to try on other people's filters. And trying on other people's filters is a great way to dilute your own and allows you more access to expanded consciousness. And, you know, always question yourself, what are my intentions in life right now? Questioning yourself is expanded consciousness. Cross-checking it against what your identity is, what you think your roles are, who you think you are in this world. All those things are 3D projections of you. And expanded consciousness seeks to go above and beyond, and interestingly enough, within, to connect to the real you. So I hope this makes sense. In closing, expanded consciousness is just paying more attention. That's all it is. It's paying more attention. It's asking yourself these questions. And that's it. That's it. It can change your life and just create a lot of peace within you. When that special time of day comes around and I get to feed my cats Small's cat food, I really look forward to it, as do the kitties. They all gather around the fridge and meow at me, hopefully, as I spoon it into their dishes. And then they all have their spots. We figured out they all have their spots around the house where they prefer to eat. And they just eat so happily. And there's just something about the way that they eat. Like, I can't handle hearing people chew, but hearing kitties chew their Small's cat food just brings me such intrinsic joy. So our cats love Small's cat food, and you've got to try Small's. It's 2023. I mean, feeding your cat kibble, no, we can't do that anymore. It's time to update your cat food with Small's. I mean, Small's cat food, they're protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge. Okay, and it's delivered right to your door. This is quality food for your fur babies. And Smalls just takes a different approach to cat food. It's cooked very gently. It's food that would be in your own kitchen. And they work with leading cat nutritionists to create recipes that are exactly what your little fur ball craves and needs. That's why my cat's hair, I can already tell, like, their fur is shinier. It looks healthier. I mean, and their kitty litter smells a lot less than it did before, let me tell you. And you can try their product risk-free because they are so sure your cat will love it. I can finally open a packet of cat food also and not get nauseous. It just smells like food, not like gross cat food that I'm used to from canned food that I used to use a long, long time ago. So remember, higher quality ingredients mean a healthier and happier life for your kitty. So head to smalls.com/KYA and use promo code KYA at checkout for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use my code KYA for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code KYA for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. Breakfast and lunch for me, those are times in my day when if I'm going to make the choices I shouldn't, I make it then. And it results in me feeling just like low energy and I just feel like my skin doesn't react well. Well, Sakara's flexible signature nutrition program makes it easy to plan nourishing feel-good meals around your own schedule. If you have dinner plans, you can sign up for breakfasts and lunches. If you're tired of like the same takeout, you can just choose dinners and you can customize even more when you subscribe. The options are endless and cater to your taste and your time. I'm going to tell you, their food is so filling. It's so wholesome, healthy, colorful. It's gorgeous. It tastes amazing. And it cuts my cravings. And let me tell you, I am a craving person. It just hits me and there's no stopping me. And the great thing about Sakara is that it's the way that they create their food is it eliminates those problems for me and probably for you too. Sakara brings expertly designed organic nutrition programs and wellness essentials right to your door. They're science-backed, ready-to-eat meals deliver results you can see and feel, from weight management and eased bloat to boosted energy and clearer skin. And right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to sakara.com/KYA or enter code KYA at checkout. That's Sakara, SAKARA.com/KYA to get 20% off your first order. Sakara.com/KYA. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys.
Okay, so hopefully after that, we can see how we can do it in our everyday. And it's there's a modern approach to this.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And so you had a story you wanted to share that's kind of more modern.
Yeah, so when you originally gave this to me, I picked the Buddha.
Right.
But that's 2,500 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. You know, let's bring this into the modern day.
Okay.
Here. So something that actually has stricken terror and fear and loathing into every Bills fan is what I thought of.
Oh, it's true.
So
it's true.
Yes. So those of you who, and this is where, come on, let's get the guys on now. They can come back on. Where there's a player. His name is Aaron Rodgers. And I don't know how much of our audience knows this.
Well, and if you're tuning out already, like football.
No, don't.
Don't, because there's a bachelor tie-in too. Bachelorette tie-in.
Okay.
So, yeah. So
I don't know about that, but here.
No, there is. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Aaron Rodgers is a football player. He used to play for the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably, you know, considered the top five best quarterbacks of all time.
Mm.
If people want to dispute that, that's totally fine. But
you're like, he's don't care. You can argue with me. It's fine.
Right. He's won the Super Bowl. He's won the MVPs.
There was a lot of controversy around him.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
But he's considered to be one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whatever.
In the game. Yeah.
In the game. And he's won the Super Bowl.
Right.
Okay. And that's the big key here for Bills fans. He's won the Super
Bowl.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So now, why does that impact the Bills fans first? Let's just get this out of the way.
The Bills have
never won the Super Bowl.
All right.
They went to 4 Super Bowls in a row, lost all of them.
Well, we got the heart.
Right. They were supposed to win the Super Bowl last year. Everyone picked them. They didn't. Now Aaron Rodgers is going to the New York Jets, who plays in the Bills division.
They're in our division.
They're like their rivals.
And the Jets were so stinky.
Right. And the Jets have been
previously
terrible.
And now they have this guy.
Right.
And there's like just a lot of bandwagon fans. Okay, sorry, Jets, but it's true. Like, everyone's like, oh, now we're going to win. And then Bills fans are like, ugh.
Right. And they're terrified because Aaron Rodgers has won the Super Bowl and the Jets could possibly, I don't think they will, but they could possibly win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And the Bills would just be, the fans would be freaking out.
He's all mysterious and stuff.
Right. So before he made his
mysterious
decision.
Mysterious and tricky.
Now, here's where what came to mind. Before he made his decision, he was telling everyone he had to go on this, what he called, well, I think it is called the darkness retreat.
Yeah.
So he went on this darkness retreat.
Okay.
For X amount of days. I looked up what it was, and it's really...
How are Jets fans okay with this?
Well, because like I said, he's won the Super Bowl.
Like, he can back it up.
He can back it up. He's okay. Got the credentials.
All right.
So the
just wondering.
The Darkness Retreat is basically exactly what it sounds like. You go into a little like hobbit house.
Okay.
And like in built into the earth, and you stay there in the dark for they recommend at least 4 full days. So, and they recommend like a day before, a day after. 4 is like the minimum that you can do.
So it's a room.
It's
that's
like a
dark.
Room. It's yes.
Is it pitch black dark or it's, just kind of like just dark dark?
No, it's. I think it's pitch black dark. A lot of questions here. I know they're coming.
Yeah,
and I can answer them. I have a frequently asked questions page from the website. But
where is it? Is it like
it's in Oregon?
Oh, so it's in like the wilderness.
It's in the wilderness. Okay. It's middle of nowhere. There's only 3 of them. Like the 3. There's like 3 hobbit houses. That you could stay
they're like,
in.
Like a hobbit? So they're like little
yeah,
like mossy ever, caverns?
Yeah, have you ever seen like Lord yeah. of the Rings? I think it's like built into the countryside.
Oh, the visions.
Yeah, you see that?
Okay.
I can't see it in my head because I can't see things.
Yeah,
but yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Fire
away.
How do you go to the bathroom? How do you find the toilet?
Okay, that's a great question. I actually was doing this with Abby. She was in the room when I was researching it. And they do have a toilet with a flush.
How do you find it?
Well, that's what Abby asked. And she said, well, how, you know, she actually said, Dad, you have bad aim with the light on. How would you find it in the dark?
You have no personal light.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I don't know how you find it.
Okay.
But they even like black out like the door. Like they have things
oh, really?
Like to cover the door.
Are you allowed to go outside at nighttime?
It was very, yeah. I wasn't sure if you leave or not.
Oh, I want to like the not leaving part.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Like they deliver the meals to you. Okay. I know that. They deliver like 3 meals to you and one every day,
that's
but
it?
Only in one setting.
What about snacks?
I don't know if there was a mention of snacks.
You need snacks.
You stay there
how
in
much
the
is
dark.
It
was, I think it's $2.50 a night. And that, I think that includes your meals.
I don't know so if that's terrible.
It's not terrible. It's yeah, let me just check here.
Can you listen to music?
It's $2.50 a night, which includes your meals and retreat support. So you get treat support for that. I don't know what that
okay.
means, but
how do you brush your teeth? How do you see if you have something on your face? There's so many questions.
Well, I don't think that
I couldn't because bugs. I couldn't. Like, what if I don't know if a spider is near me? That would really stress me out.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, does it get cold in there?
Can you have a nightlight?
I was wondering that too. Do you have, yeah.
Can
I
you have a fire?
Think you do. But here's what it says.
So, anyways, he went to this.
So yes, he went to this.
Okay.
Because. And I think you're going to get into a reading of him in a little bit.
Yeah.
He had to make a huge decision. You know, he was on the Packers. And I think – and, you know, he's had – like you said, he's got a lot of controversy in football.
Yeah.
It was like a vaccine thing. And he had to make the decision, I assume, you know, maybe to quit football. He's older. He's having a midlife crisis like the Buddha.
Right.
And he has to decide maybe quit football, stay with the Packers. Do I really want to go to this horrible team known as the New York Jets?
That's not nice.
And ruin all Bills fans' hopes and dreams? You know, so this is what it says. Okay, so you go into this place, all right, and it's different for everyone, but typically they find that the retreatants, as they're called,
okay.
sleep. You're going to sleep more or less for the first 24 to 48 hours.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
I could do that.
So basically now I paid $500 to go to sleep.
Okay.
All right, you know. That I guess, whatever. Now, they now as the time goes, that's why they said you need at least like 3 to 4 days at least.
Yeah.
Now, as the time goes on, you're going to find you're not going to sleep so much and you might only be sleeping 1 or 2 hours a night.
Oh, really?
Now, that's you already. So I don't know why you have to pay $500. You only sleep like a few hours a night. But anyway, if you want to pay the $500, sure. Now, the altered states of consciousness naturally begin to arise the third day.
You're there 3 days in the dark before you start
yes.
having bigger thoughts about things.
Exactly.
Like, who am I?
Yeah, exactly.
I have those all the time.
Yes.
I have those without any sort of prompting.
That's
I think
right.
a lot of us do.
No, here you got to pay the $500
okay, okay.
before you even start.
All right. So you're really getting...
Yes.
I get that. I get that. That. Okay.
And then as the retreat goes on, this is why they tell you to get more days. You know, book 7 days, book 10 days. You know.
Right.
They continue, your consciousness, you'll continue to intensify as the retreat progresses. This is due to the different neurochemical reactions that occur from various glands and hormones being both suppressed and or stimulated from the light deprivation. This results in heightened sensory sensitivities, visions, lucid dreaming, and many other profound and insightful experiences.
Okay.
So
it's a way to cut off your senses so that you have more of an expanded consciousness.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, this is truly no different than the Buddha sitting under the Bodhi tree for 7 days meditating.
Okay.
You know, so they really haven't
I think a lot of people talk about they'll go on a vacation and they come back with a new mindset.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of different ways to do it. Or you go through some sort of trauma and then you have a new mindset. Or there's a lot of different
ways.
It's just one way to
way to do it.
So he went there.
He went there and, you know, people were all wondering, what is he doing in his darkness retreat? He's on like I remember like ESPN, you know, sports radio, they were all talking, we won't know till he gets out of his darkness retreat.
Oh,
what's going to happen?
That's crazy.
So
he's like the groundhog.
Yeah.
Like he emerges.
Right.
He's like, I saw my shadow and
the Jets.
This is the Jets.
So, and I don't know how long he was there for. Maybe he was there for a week. So whatever. I don't know. So to me, you don't have to do that. You don't have to go to this extreme.
Yeah.
If you want to, of course you can, but I don't need 2 days of, you know, before of sleeping. And
I know you wouldn't do it. We know you wouldn't.
Yeah,
do it.
I'm not doing it.
But that's interesting that he did it. So when somebody does things like this, because it's very not football guy or whatever.
Right.
You know, it's interesting because, yes, I am on numerous Bills Mafia fan pages on Facebook. And his picture has been coming up all the time. Like people like keep posting it and asking questions. And so I've been looking at him like, man, this guy looks like. It's like I've always just been a little nervous about him. Like, are you okay, dude? You know, like he always feels like he needs nurturing or a hug, but he'd have a hard time accepting it like that.
Yeah.
He's green indigo and he wears inauthentic purple.
Okay, because I would have said green.
Green purple.
Yeah, I would say green purple.
It's the inauthentic. I think he liked to be green purple, like Tom Brady.
Right.
Like where you can like really kind of shut it down a little bit better. Or like I always say, purples have an ability to it's an empath color. They totally know what's going on, but they can treat reality like a movie. So they're watching it and they know what's going on, but they also have an awareness that that's a movie. That's not me. You know, they can watch reality as if and not, you know, have that little screen between them and it. Indigos can't do that. I feel like he'd like to do that.
Okay.
He, you know, also in that high pressure position that you are in as like a quarterback like that, the focus that is necessary. I mean, so all that.
So that's actually interesting because you always say indigos like to get away from the world for a while.
Yes.
Usually you do it for an afternoon.
Yeah.
Here he's doing it for, you know, 7 days in the darkness.
I mean, that sounds not the worst. I'm going to be honest to
okay.
you. Like if somebody's like hey, Meg,
yeah.
booked you a darkness retreat. Like after I was like, hey, you and the kids okay? I'd be like, bye.
Like
you know?
You would be more okay with it like if it was like this cabin with the lights on.
I need more snacks.
And the Netflix.
And I need a night light.
Right.
Netflix would be good.
Yeah. So if you had like HBO, Netflix, Showtime, all those channels.
Yeah.
And you were in this little cabin, lights on. You know, so you can see the toilet, whatever.
I just need a nightlight.
Yeah,
you'd
be fine.
Low light. But
right.
Anyways, my point
okay.
is low that light. That doesn't concern me so much. Okay, so I looked at a picture of him
Before the retreat.
The retreat.
This is before the retreat.
And here it is right here.
Oh,
I'll put it up.
Okay. He looks a little mad.
He just always seems angry and like on the brink of a breakdown. And like the inauthentic purple makes me nervous for his mental health. And I'm not a doctor and I'm not a professional, but he's like a man on the edge. Or he could get unhinged very quickly. And I feel like he goes into the green. So like the amazing focus is actually a reprieve for him. So it could be that crazy high pressure situations are some sort of a retreat in itself. Like he can isolate himself in the game and he can isolate himself in who even like his health and like the playing and that kind of stuff or whatever. But then I wonder if these things happen more off season or something with them. And I know he's had a lot of different romantic relationship issues and stuff throughout time. I just see with him that he's a deep, deep thinker. And when the green isn't working anymore and the indigo rushes in, he can't handle it. Like it's too much. It's like an onslaught
okay.
of energy and an onslaught of emotion. Also, and this is where The Bachelor comes in, believe it or not. I don't even know if you know this. His brother was on, he was like a contestant and won.
Okay.
On the,
He wasn't the man.
No,
the
JoJo Fletcher was the Bachelorette, and she chose Jordan Rogers as her, I think they got married.
Okay.
Like they're together or whatever, and as her fiance.
Do you know his colors or? No.
Yeah,
oh,
I do. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Jordan's red and blue.
Oh, he's a red blue.
Yeah, so okay. Jordan's red. So the family's really interesting. So then I was like, I got to look at this family because he's a so the whole thing that came out in The Bachelorette is Aaron Rodgers is estranged from his family. And and Aaron Rodgers doesn't really talk about it. But on The Bachelorette, this was like back in 2016, like they were talking about it. Like, oh, we don't really talk. Because Aaron was like the most, he's always been, I guess he was well known. I didn't know who he was. I was just watching The Bachelor and I'm like, oh, wow. They don't talk to the quarterback, NFL quarterback,
So what you're saying is he indigo-ghosted the family?
It feels like, well, here, you know, and family stuff's complicated, you know, but I can see where he needs to, when you're indigo, it is so hard to make a decision. Okay.
There you go.
When you are indigo, you can't do it. And you can't do it overnight. It's going to take processing. And I tell people this all the time because I had to learn it the hard way myself. To make a choice takes me, I don't know, a variable amount of time. I don't know. Definitely 3 days to 3 months. It takes time for me to make it. It takes time. If you're indigo, it takes time to make a choice.
Okay.
Because it all comes in and there's... And also, he doesn't really have the support system of family, you know, and so he's alone. So I feel like he definitely has to lean on himself and what he can find in within himself to make these choices. So expanded consciousness might be more attractive to him and more accessible to him because that's all he's got. He's searching for some sort of truth. And looking at his family, and this is where it gets really complicated, and I'm not putting them down and I don't know them personally. These are my own thoughts, okay?
Yeah.
But I feel like I have to say things like that.
No. That's fine.
His dad and mom, I have pictures of them. They are very, this is how I think, therefore this is how it is, people.
Okay.
Dad is green and red and blue.
Whoa.
So the green, red dad thing, it's like, I'd have to really deep dive into dad and see which one was first, but doesn't matter because he's
so
got,
you can't tell if he was a
I can't
green
tell I'd have to
red.
See him as a kid
because
either he was like a red blue guy who did like a lot of green stuff or he's like a green blue guy that did kind of red stuff like that kind of thing, but he wears both of them but one's inauthentic. But my point is he's a very rigid dude, like he, and I feel like Aaron grew up with a dad that's like, this is good character, this is correct, this is what you do. I am the truth. Don't listen to yourself. Don't go into yourself. Listen to what I just said. And here's the reasons why what I just said is correct. And they probably were. His way works for him. The thing is when you're indigo, you have like four different ways to look at something at any given time. And dad was always like, no, you come to me as source. And I feel like they were religious too. So that might have a component as well. So there's like, no, outside of yourself, here you go. This is how you make choices. So I feel like when Aaron is time to make a choice, he wasn't given those foundations of finding it in his own way, in his own truth, in his own way of figuring stuff out on top of his own aura colors thing. So it makes sense to me that he has to go do these kind of over the top things to make a decision. And it makes me feel sad for him. But at the same time, I'm happy that he's found his own way of making choices, you know. And then mom, she's super, super yellow. And it's like the I told you so yellow. So she's like, what my husband says goes. Your childhood was great. You know, like sometimes moms like that, people don't always mean to be the way they are. You know, I feel like they did their best. And he's got two other brothers and they're all very close. So there could be, you know, there's two sides to every story and the truth, of course. But I just get from Aaron's perception, it's like there's no room for me to have an alternate thought about things. There's no room for me to be different. There's no room. And that's why the whole controversy with the vaccination thing, and I'm not saying yes or no or anything. I'm just saying, like, I think it's very triggering for him to be told what to do. And because his whole life was like, no, like what we say is dogma. And there's no room for you to have your own thought about things.
Okay. So that's fascinating.
It's really deep.
And I guess we need childhood. I think you need childhood photos here. I don't think we have them, but.
Oh yeah, I could have.
Yeah. If we had them. So do you think Aaron Rodgers, you said he's green indigo.
Yeah.
Where's the inauthentic purple?
Yeah.
So do you think he was like a green, maybe blue kid? And then because of like living in that, you know, having that upbringing, you know, with his dad being, we're not even sure here, red or green, and the mom being a yellow.
Oh, and no, then, I'm looking at him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I just found him. No. Oh, my God. He's so.
What? Tell me.
Oh, he's such a sweetie. Oh, little Aaron. He's so sensitive.
So he's an indigo.
If I read this little, oh my God, it's going to make me cry.
All right, read it.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
If I was, let's say I was talking to mom and she believed this stuff, which she wouldn't because I think they're super religious and stuff.
That's fine.
I would say your son, yeah, I've said this to women that I've read who've given me their kids that have this kind of aura combo. What a sensitive child. What a sensitive little boy. He leads first with his feelings. And I would say this is a future indigo. Right. He wears so much of his mom's yellow, by the way.
In that picture.
He's not yellow, but he wears mom's yellow. I'll see little boys absorbing mom because they love mommy so much. And they want, and mommy probably was like very yellow, like, oh, here's our schedule, do, do, do. And, okay, mom, you know, like along with you for the ride there, but he's really green. I could, and I just feel like mom is more the, not the dad. I wonder if dad just stepped in later more, like when they got more athletic, and maybe now he's like, now I'll step in, you know, but he's so little in this picture that it's like mommy, 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 mommy. So he's an absorber.
Yeah.
He's a, so I would say he's a future indigo. He's blue. He's like blue, green, and but he's absorbing mom's yellow in this picture. Right. But he's sensitive. Wow. What a sensitive child. So I feel bad for him, and I feel like he just needed more nurturing.
Yeah, because he, you know,
that's why I just want to hug him when I see him, even though I feel like he'd be like, "Don't touch me."
Yeah, because he doesn't give off the indigo vibe. He gives off the more green purple. That's why I thought he'd be purple.
He's a little gruff. A little gruff. But I feel like he's a deep thinker.
Yeah. Well.
And he gets in his head. You know.
Yeah. And that's, so, well, that's what he said to go on the retreat.
Yeah.
You know, get out of your head so you can.
That's interesting. And then family, just like with the whole, they keep kind of think they're trying to get him back in the fold by kind of mentioning him every once in a while in the media. And like with somebody who's indigo, it's just not going to work. Green indigo, especially, because they're just gonna be like, well, well, I just ignored you. I'm just indigo-sting further now, you know? So that's crazy.
That's crazy. Well, they say you're attracted to your colors, Green Bay Packers, yellow and green.
Oh,
so maybe that's why
the green.
He was attracted
and then the
to
Jets
that
are
team.
Green.
The Jets are green. So
okay.
I don't know. Maybe not. I have no idea, but it is interesting. That is, that, and I guess that would make sense why, you know, because he also was known for doing the ayahuasca,
okay.
Those kind of things.
Yeah.
And going on, he's done these retreats before.
That's very attractive to people who, I get it. It can be very attractive, like you just want to get out of your programming.
Yeah. Well, myself, I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm going to go against the grain here. I found a retreat that I want to go on.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so you want to expand your consciousness, and you told me that you found a really special retreat and you wouldn't tell me anything else until we got on air. So here we are.
Yeah. So I did so, extensive research.
Lord only knows.
Yeah. I think I'm going to this.
Okay.
It's in October.
Okay.
October 15th to the 19th. Now it's called the Buffet Year. Okay. Now I thought it was a Jimmy Buffett retreat at
like
first.
Margaritaville.
And that's why I started reading about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like some Margaritaville thing. And I was really attracted to it. And I opened it up. That's why I picked that one at first. But as I went through it, you know, I kept getting even more excited.
Okay.
So first of all, this is a guys only retreat. So you don't have to worry. There's going to be no women there.
I wouldn't.
Okay. It's just going to be me and the guys.
Okay.
Okay. And it's only going to be maybe like 10 to 14 of us.
Oh.
And
an intimate group.
Yes. It's our, I guess it's the buffet year. So okay. I guess that means like all you could eat them. I'm thinking we're going to eat a lot. But it's an immersion retreat. I'm not really sure what an immersion retreat means.
You're immersing yourself.
In everything.
They probably take your phone and stuff.
Yeah, that could be.
It's
now,
yeah.
It is a curated space. This is what they're going to do for me.
Okay.
Where men can evolve. Who crave an intimate opportunity to try new things and foster connections with others while working on self-discovery, active offerings, community connection, and spiritual work.
Well, that sounds really nice.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing at that? Well, why are you ridiculing that lovely thought?
Well, I'm just calling overtime here. So you can go now if you want.
Oh, all right. You know what? Good idea.
Yeah, let's call overtime to be
safe. Overtime.
It says
overtime means you probably should leave.
Yeah.
And we're like, sorry ahead of time.
Anything that comes out of my mouth is on you, not on me.
Yeah.
So, well, here's the thing. Trying new things, it's 10 men. And I mean, is this a Jumanji thing? I'm not sure right now.
It depends, you know, if you're into that.
We were participants in the Circle of Content.
Consent. That's a long time ago.
All right. So it's 4 days.
So you're trying to say things could get... very intimate.
Well, it says try new things.
Well, I'm sure only with your consent if that's something you're into.
Well, it hasn't said consent. It said immersion. And remember, it's a buffet.
Okay.
Think of these 4 days as a much-needed getaway. Explore and transform using the Buffett Year principles. I don't know what those are.
Oh. Are you allowed to say this retreat so like freely on here?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, it's in Joshua Tree now.
California. That's nice.
Yeah, so that's nice.
That's
again,
nice.
Desert. We're going desert theme again.
Oh, the desert. Yeah.
Now, I like this part.
Okay.
It's going to be a shared. Well, I don't like the shared space because, you know, I'm a social distancer.
I'm sure you can pay for a single room.
Yeah. But it's a private luxury estate with countless amenities.
Oh, my God. It's a rich person's mansion.
And off-site excursions.
Wait. Are you going to somebody's house?
It could be the Bachelor Mansion. Is that in the desert?
I don't think that's in Joshua Tree.
Yeah. I think we're going to someone's house.
Is it Daddy Warbucks? Is he like hosting a hall?
Well, at first I thought it was Jimmy Buffett. So I'm like, yeah. I'll spend 4 days with Jimmy Buffett. If a Jumanji happened. Okay. So, I wanted to know, for me, I need to know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So here's some of the itinerary. So at 8 a.m., I'm doing yoga and meditation.
You can do that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm good at that. And I've already been close to someone while doing yoga.
Yes.
Passed wind in my face. 10 a.m. breakfast. I prefer it to be a little earlier, but all right, I'll go with the 10 a.m. breakfast. Fine. 11 a.m., I'm taking a spiritual hike because I did sign up, by the way.
Oh.
And I am high desert rock climbing.
This all sounds like you'd love this.
Yeah. Mojave guides are going to guide me.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, I guess.
That sounds nice.
12:30, we're eating lunch. 1:30 to 5, I'm relaxing and recharging.
Okay.
With a scheduled massage.
Oh.
A Thai body work.
I don't know what that is.
Well, there we go now. See, this is where I get my downs.
You're like, define that.
Yes. I'm taking a cold plunge.
Oh.
Is that with a bathing suit? I don't know.
I guess that's a... I don't know.
Hot tub, heated pool. I'm going to read. And of course, I'm going to journal.
Okay.
Then 5:30, I'm having my dinner prepared by a gourmet chef from the desert.
Okay.
So
a desert gourmet chef.
Yeah. And we're going to have steak. We're going to have poke bowls.
Okay.
Is that what we call poke bowls?
It's not vegan or anything.
Oh, there's main course has mushroom in it. Do you think?
I'm sure they would do your dietary restrictions.
Yeah, because it's a mushroom reduction.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what that is.
It's just like a little sauce.
I mean, I'm probably going to get an espresso too.
Okay.
And I know what that is now, by the way.
Excuse me, desert chef. What is a mushroom reduction?
Yeah. And then from 7 to 9:30, there's going to be live music, dancing.
What?
Yes.
This doesn't sound like an expanded. Okay.
Okay.
Right off the bat, I want Aaron Rodgers' Darkness Retreat before
Are you
this
sure?
one.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because like it says here.
You leave me alone at the other one. This is a lot of activities.
I just have to read one more part.
Okay.
The retreat is perfect for men who feel stuck in a rut and who want a container to try new things.
Okay.
Explorers interested in cultivating connection while unblocking themselves.
All right.
Okay. Professionals who want to unplug from the grind and try new experiences. And finally, and this is where I'm probably going to have to cancel, evolved men who are ready to jump into their buffet year with a bang.
What's a...
I'm canceling. I'm canceling.
What are you scared?
Yes. I'm terrified.
What are you scared of?
I'm alone in the desert. I'd rather be with Aaron Rodgers in a dark hut.
I think like you just don't like people touching you.
No. And that's what I'm afraid of.
You're afraid of anybody, really.
Right.
You just don't want anyone touching you.
Yeah. And they don't give the pricing.
Oh, they do.
So I don't know how much I'm paying for this.
Okay.
I know how much. My credit card rang it up, but I canceled it.
It sounds like just like a getaway.
Yeah. With a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
In the desert. With live music, some, fancy foods.
Is there drinking?
It did not say.
Okay.
Okay, it didn't say, fancy Grey Goose, whatever.
Right.
Didn't say anything like
Maybe
that.
Maybe just go on a cruise. I don't know. I don't know.
You think I should go or no?
I think you should.
You think I should go?
I think it'd be good for you.
It goes with a bag.
All right.
All right. Well, like I said, I prefer to do my meditating here, my yoga at the Y,
yeah.
My expanded consciousness on the podcast and in my discussion groups. That's what I prefer.
I would do Aaron Rodgers' retreat.
You would.
Yeah,
you might.
I've decided.
You're
indigo. Yeah.
If the lights could be dimmed. We could ask them.
Yeah, I just need my skylight. I'm good.
Yeah, they seem like a nice couple that runs it.
We could
just ask them, hey.
Oh, I need more food.
Could you put in a nightlight?
My retreat support includes a nightlight.
Yeah. Maybe a question for you.
Question
for you. Could you put in a nightlight for Mystic Michaela?
All right.
At Netflix. At the Netflix passcode. Could she, when you borrow someone's Netflix?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know Netflix
I need
hates that,
too.
That. Yeah, you need that too. Could we borrow your Netflix just for a few days?
Well, obviously this podcast expanded your consciousness. So hopefully. Especially this last part.
Yes.
You know, this podcast is for you and about you. And we're so glad you spent some time with us today.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.